Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. God's direction to your destination is sevenfold. If you ever need a map of a local city, make sure you stop by the local Chamber of Commerce office. The maps are generally free and most helpful in plotting your pilgrimage around most cities. I don't think heaven has a Chamber of Commerce. In fact, I rather doubt it. But nevertheless, God has provided each of us with a roadmap with specific directions on how to reach our destination.
Hallelujah.
The fulfillment of his divine purpose for our lives. Here are seven locations on God's roadmap to our destiny. Number one, vision. On any journey, you begin with a destination in mind. Unless you're Forrest Gump, then you can run and run and run. A pilot would never allow his jet to leave the runway without his destination being programmed to the onboard computer. Even if you were to head out on a vacation with no particular location in mind, you'd still have a destination. That's right after you've gone geographically exploring your ultimate destination. You know, after you've done that, it's time to get you back home. On trips and in life, if you don't have a vision of where you're going, you'll never get there. In my book, Spiritual Entrepreneur, 21-Day Information System for Success, you'll see where day one is entitled Seven Keys to Establishing Your Vision for the Year. If you don't own this powerful information system, go to haroldherring.com and order it today. I'm not going into the teaching, but I will share with you seven keys. First, how do you see yourself? Second, your vision must be specific. Third, you must write down your vision. Fourth, you must fully realize God will help you win every battle the devil brings against the fulfillment of his vision for you. Fifth, you must do it today. Sixth, regularly review your progress and the manifestation of God's given focus for your life. And seventh, keep a journal or a word document on your progress. As the scripture says in Habakkuk, write your vision and make it plain.
Number two, faith. Faith is the fuel that keeps us traveling through all sorts of rocky, dangerous terrain and all sorts of weather conditions, and I could say spiritual weather conditions. But first, let's talk a little bit about what faith is not. Faith is not a denomination. Faith is not something on your resume. Faith is not, are you ready, invisible. A lot of people say, well, faith is invisible, but it isn't, and we can prove it in Scripture. In Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice now that the things hoped for is invisible. That's true. But faith is the evidence that makes it real. There's no such thing as invisible evidence. You would never go into a courtroom and win a case with invisible evidence. The thing hoped for is invisible. But if you have faith for a new house, the new house may be invisible to you right now, but your faith won't be invisible. If the faith is invisible, then the house will never show up either. We're in the process of fighting the good fight of faith. And we're fighting the good fight of that which is visible. How do we make that which is seemingly invisible visible? We have to see it, in the spirit realm.
Number three, planning. Prior proper planning precipitates positive progress and performance, preventing possible problems and predicaments. I enjoyed writing that years ago. We should point out that prior proper planning will, prevent you from living in the tyranny of the urgent. Prior proper planning will prevent mistakes and us having to say, oh, I forgot that. Procrastination is the enemy of planning. It causes you to delay decisions and actions until another time. Genesis 24:33 in the Darby translation. There was set meat before him, Abraham's servant, to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I've made known my business. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, was a man with a plan, and he was working that plan. That's great advice for each of us. We've often quoted Alan Larkin, the noted time management expert, who once said, planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it now. What's your plan for this wonderful Wednesday or for each new day that you experience? Is your plan to let things happen or make things happen? Only you can control your day. It's clear from this scripture that God wants us to take charge of every day he's given us, to make the most of it, make it count. The contemporary version, English version of verse 12 says, teach us to use wisely all the time we have.
Number four, action. In Ezra 10 verse 4 in God's Word translation, it says, get up. It's your duty to take action. We are with you, so be strong and take action. God did not create or call us to be a spiritual couch potato. He called each one of us to be a doer of the word. And God is looking for people who are full of fire and the Holy Ghost. God's looking for people who will get up off what's been holding them back and actively pursue the vision that he's given them. In James 2 verse 20 in the Classic Amplified, it says, are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unpredictable, spiritually deficient fellow? The faith, apart from good works, is inactive and ineffective and worthless. Our faith is what will prompt us to new levels of kingdom action. God knows exactly what we think. Here is everything we say. And yes, God sees everything we do. In Proverbs 5:21, just in case we need a reminder, in Proverbs 5, verse 21 in God's Word translation, it says, every person's ways are clearly seen by the Lord, and he surveys all his actions. He watches everything we're doing, so we need to watch that too.
Number five, confession. Confess the scriptures and personalize them over your life every day. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. First, we suggest you personalize this verse and so that you can confess it throughout the day. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield to Janice. The Lord God will give Janice grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from Janice who walks uprightly. Second, create a confession which you can use in the morning and during the day. Something like this. Heavenly Father, I thank you that good things are coming into my life today. Hallelujah. My debts are being supernaturally canceled and eliminated, and that's a good thing. Being recognized for my labors is a good thing. Walking in divine health is a good thing. Having my children, and by the way, name them in this confession, having my children, our children, Jim, Jamie, Abby girl.
Abby and Alexander.
Yeah. Serving you is a good thing. Lord, I want to praise you because as I serve you with all my heart today, I have the confidence in knowing that there's not one good thing you will withhold from me. Hallelujah and amen.
And the in-laws.
That's it. It's important that you make the confession to fit you and what you're facing in your life. Think about it.
Number six, persistence. What does the Word of God say about persistence? Well, in Revelation 2:2 in the Message Bible, it says, I see what you've done, your hard work, your hard work, your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage in my cause, that you never wear out. This is the message that the angel of the church of Ephesus was to take to them. That's the way I want to be remembered too, that by hard work in fulfilling the vision that God has given me to get the body of Christ out of debt along with my husband, by a refusal to give up until every believer walks in financial freedom, and a commitment to help every believer become a rich thinker. One final thought on that. Our victory may be just around the corner, just around the bend, or just over the next hill. So persistence needs to be a part of our character until we get to that destiny, and then even beyond.
Hallelujah. Number 7, fulfillment. How do we find fulfillment in God's roadmap to our destiny? The same way King David found fulfillment. First, we have an insatiable desire for God. Psalm 63:1. In the classic Amplified Bible. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you. In a dry and weary land where there's no water.
Mm. Second, we covet a personal relationship with him. In Psalm 63:4, classic Amplified, it says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. And Psalm 63:6-8 in the New Living Translation says, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Third, fulfillment in life as we pursue our destiny. Psalm 63:3, classic Amplified. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And Psalm 63:5, in the Living Bible. At last, I shall be fully satisfied. I will praise you with great joy. On our journey, we must realize the real, peaceful, and lasting fulfillment that comes from our personal relationship with the one who created us for a purpose and a destiny.
Hallelujah.
That's what he wants for us.
Amen.
No doubt. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. You've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed to have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.